Father, we're so grateful. We crown you Lord of all. We enter your word with the reverence and the humility that it deserves. We're fully conscious of the limitations of the human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into this written word. So we ask for help, supernatural assistance, fresh anointing and unction from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, that I might speak as I should indeed as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who hears me, those who are physically present, those who hear me remotely, electronically, that the word will have free course from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word. My God, that I might do it with precision, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say, bringing out a treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said in agreement with me, amen. Hallelujah. Again, you're welcome in Jesus' name. We are going to continue our study in God's word. We're in the gospel according to St. Luke. We're studying the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus is a pattern for us to grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ and manifest the glory of God and the Spirit without measure as we see demonstrated in his life and ministry. I would like to reiterate some things that we have said at different points in time over the years. And one of them is this: Jesus did not operate as God when he was on earth. I will repeat that very carefully. I did not say he wasn't God. I said he wasn't operating as God. That is, in his omniscience, in his omnipotence, and his omnipresence. No. If that were true, we couldn't be like him. You know? No, he was operating as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. However, the anointing that was on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible, I was teaching on this on Sunday in church, when I was talking about epignosis, the perfect, complete, exact, precise knowledge of the Son of God. The Bible talked about the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He was operating what the Bible describes as the Spirit without measure. Now, we as born-again Christians have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God, but we don't have it without measure. We have, the Bible calls it an earnest, a deposit, unction, and thank God for it. We don't despise the day of small beginnings. That earnest has enabled us to do and live a supernatural life. It's actually a foretaste of this Spirit without measure that is to be manifested in the church. So with that earnest, we speak in tongues, we cast out devils, we lay hands on the sick, and they do recover. Praise the Lord. We thank God for that. You know. However, that earnest, wonderful as it is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end. It's a beginning. Because God's purpose is for us to grow spiritually. Like the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, captures it in one verse. It says that we might grow up into him in all things. So Christianity is a living relationship with a living God. You know, just like we were born naturally of our natural human parents and they imparted natural biological life to us, In exactly the same way, God has imparted spiritual life to us. We have the nature of God in our spirits. But Jesus said, that which is born of spirit is spirit. He says, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. We get that, you know, when we get born again. But we're not supposed to stop there. That divine nature in the spirit is supposed to grow and to drive out or clean out the remnant of the sin nature that is still in the soul and the body. Every Christian knows this, if they're to be honest. You've got the divine nature, wants to do the right thing, and then you've got the sin nature in the soul and body that wants, is pressurizing you to do the wrong thing. The Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. The King James Version, anytime you see the word flesh, just put sin nature there. It will make it very clear. It resides in the mind, the will, the emotions, as well as in the physical body. But it's not the flesh. It's not the physical flesh. It's just the spiritual nature that is inside the flesh that makes us behave in a way that is contrary to the will of God. And Paul graphically describes it in the quote, what I've just quoted in Galatians chapter 5, as well as in Romans chapter 7. In fact, Romans chapter 7, Paul is so emphatic. He says, I know that in me, then he puts it in brackets, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said, I delight after the law of God, after the inward man. So he makes a distinction between the inner man and the outer man. So the inner man has God's nature, but the outer man has sin in it. Otherwise, in my flesh, the outer man. But the good news is that we can and should and must use the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, consistently in the wisdom of God, you know, to clean out the sin nature that is still in the soul and in the body. And when all of it is out, we now come to where Jesus was when he was born. You can imagine where, you know, we have a long way to go. You see, Jesus was born, that's why he was born by what our Catholic brethren call Immaculate Conception. He was born of a virgin. And it had to be like that so that he did not inherit the sin nature that was passed down through the blood. That's why he couldn't have a fallen human father. That is, a human father that had the sin nature. So it was the Holy Spirit, as we all know, our Catholic brethren know this better than we do, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace and all that. You know, there's a lot of truth in that, you know. I don't agree with everything they say, but there's a lot of good truth in it. Let's take the good part. Amen. You know, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Mary said, how am I going to have a baby? I'm a virgin. And the angel, Gabriel, tells us that the Holy Ghost will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So that the holy thing which will be born in you will be called what? The Son of God. Well, guess what? That same thing happened to you. The Holy Ghost comes upon you. The power of the Most High comes upon you. And that which is born in you, but it's not physical, it's spiritual, is the Son of God. You're just as much a Son of God as Jesus was. Now, that sounds like, you know, religious blasphemy. But it's the absolute truth. You're just as much. You're not any less a child of God than the Lord Jesus was. That's why he said, you know, I call you, you know, your sons. You're not servants. The Israelites were servants. They were not born again. But we are sons. We're children of God. You know, and we have the divine nature. So we have to now allow that divine nature in us to develop. And this is the whole essence and challenge of the Christian life. To, you know, you feed it by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, and it begins to develop and grow, and then it drives out, it cleans out, as the word the scripture uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1, it says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us, we do it. Now, we can't do it by ourselves, it's the Holy Spirit that helps us do it, but we are responsible for initiating the process. It won't happen simply because we're born again. It says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The word perfecting is in the present continuous tense, means it's something that we continue to do. You know, another wonderful scripture, you know, I was sharing with Pastor G a few days ago, sometime last week, you know, where the Bible says, it's a powerful scripture, says that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Only God knows what that means in its fullness. These are scriptures that have never been fully appropriated, you know, by the church to the degree God wants them to be. We experience them in a small measure, but not in the full measure. That's the essence of these classes, you know, teachings that we're teaching, is that we might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, everything that is inside God can also be made manifest in us. That's what it means. I can corroborate those scriptures with other scriptures that are even more mind-boggling. There's one in Ephesians, I shared this a few weeks ago, where it says, you know, that you might be strengthened with might by spirit, and that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, you know, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height. In other words, there's a focal point. All of that, there's a destination. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, it doesn't get better than that. You know, I've been saying this in recent times, and every time I think about it, it challenges me, and it also inspires me and encourages me. I read After Men of God, was newly born again, E.W. Kenyon, then, you know, much later on, people like George Warnock, the Kingdom Preachers, you know, Bill Britton. These are the people who taught people like Kelly Verner, and it was people like Kelly Verner that taught people like Ralph Martin, you know, who we're very familiar with. And I still remember this statement, is God teasing the saints? Why would he say such a thing if it's not true and we will never have it? Why would God is God playing with us? Is God deceiving us? Is God just raising our hopes high for nothing's sake? How can he say that we might be filled with all, and you know, with all the fullness of God? Some say, well, you know, that's going to happen when we get to heaven. No, that's not what he said. He didn't even leave us with any doubt about that. Another scripture, he says that as he is, so are we in this world. That brings it down to the nasty here and now. Not in the sweet by and by. the nasty here and now. There's only one thing about it, and it is this. Whose report will you believe? Do we truly believe the scriptures or we don't? It's really as simple as that. Is God a liar? Or is the scripture true? And if it is true, then what are we doing about it so that we can actualize it and experience it in our lives? And that's what people like myself and others, you know, have been investigating these last 40 years, 30-something years. You know, ever since I discovered these truths, I just went for broke, if I can use that expression. You know, to me, then and still now, you know, it's the most important thing in this life. Because, you see, if you have the fullness of God, you got everything. Jesus used a parable to describe this. He said, he called it the pearl of great price. He said, the kingdom of God is like a pearl of which a merchant, he said he discovered it. So what did he do? He sold every other thing and bought the field. Because once you got it, you got everything. It's the same truth Jesus was echoing when he was talking to his disciples. And he said to them, Peter said, What do we have since we've given up everything for you? And Jesus turned to them and said, if any man gives up husband and wife and children and in this life for my sake and for the gospel, he said, in this lifetime, he's very, very specific. I have deliberately reminded of these scriptures because once you talk about fullness of God, maybe everybody's mind goes to heaven straight. I believe it. Like Mary. He will rise. And Martha, when Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb. Of course, I believe. God, I believe. He said, well, you will rise on the last day. Jesus said, not so. I am now the resurrection and the life. We must change our mindset from a futuristic heavenly mindset to a now mindset as it concerns these great themes of scripture where it talks about the fullness. What? Nobody's ever seen that. The what we've seen about that is what was recorded in the Gospels. What we see in the life of Jesus first and then a snippet of it, not the fullness of it all. What we see in the Acts of the Apostles is just a sample. You know, because even the writers, that is Peter, James, Paul, John, they tell us that they themselves only tasted it. Paul in particular is very, very specific. He says, not that I have attained. He said, but I press. You know, and these are guys who had raised the dead, you know, turned the world upside down. And they said, you know, what we have is just a... it's just a sample. And that there's still something that is ahead. It is what these great men of God, that we, by the grace and the mercy of God, have been following. You know, people like Old Wigglesworth. Old Wigglesworth, how many people have heard of Smith Wigglesworth? I sent something out on the internet about him some time ago. I got it from Rick Joyner. I sent it to everybody on our mailing list. You need to go and review it. I had the great privilege. Of course, I wasn't around when I wasn't even born. Wigglesworth died in 1947. You know, but the church I went to in London... and it was God. I didn't even know. I mean, what would I know? A boy from Nigeria, just a student, 20 years old. I didn't know anything. It was God who led me there. This church, the way God arranged it, you know, I was in Imperial College, and they arranged all my accommodation. I just filled the forms. I didn't know what I was filling. I just filled it, and you know, there's a postgraduate hall. You know, there were other places you could get, you know, you could, you know, go and rent a hall, house somewhere. But somehow God just led me and I put it. It was expensive, you know, but by the grace of God, my parents could afford it. And they said, look, get the best. So I filled it in. I said, I wanted the Lillian Penson Hall. It's a very, very, it's a postgraduate hall. You know, they have apartments. They have single rooms. Practically every place. Every room was en suite. In other words, I'm talking about 1979. You know, you had your own private bathroom, telephone, everything. And that was where I was. As God would have it, behind that church, behind that hostel, you could actually, if you looked from my room, because I was on the fifth floor or something, you could see the church. But of course, I didn't know that. You know, it was later on I knew that. It was just behind, you know, the hall was here. Then there was a road called Parade Street. That's where Q Club used to be. That's the way I remember. You know, there was a nightclub there called Q Club. This was back in those days. You know, and then there was Paddington Station, big railway station, Paddington. Then just behind Paddington Station, that's where the church was. And I didn't know all of this. I'm telling this little story to show you. I'm talking about Smith Wigglesworth. I'll get to him in a minute. So I now got, you know, when I rededicated my life to Christ, my friend and I were looking for a church.
So we just went, we just strolled out on a Sunday morning. I can never forget it. We just strolled out from my hall. You know, I think my friend had, you know, made some inquiries. Said, oh, there's an Assembly of God church somewhere. So we just started walking. You know, went through the station and just went to the back. And lo and behold, right there, the top of the church said, Jesus saves. Assemblies of God. And there was this elderly man. Pastor must have been in his late 50s then, or in his early 60s, you know, Bernard Porter. And he was standing right outside the church, you know, as we just, two young men, we just came in. And he said, good morning, God bless you. And we said, oh, we were coming to the church. He said, you're very welcome. And he, you know, that's how I got into that church. It was months later, after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all of that, you know, that I now discovered that Pastor Porter, and Miss Porter is still alive. She's almost 100 now. You know, if I need to call her, I call her at Christmas. I call her, you know, 2-3 times a year. You know, she's very old now. She stays with her daughter. I know where she lives. Pastor Wiley has been with me there quite a number of times. I've taken it to know there, you know, and Mommy Sarah and everything to go and see her. Anyway, so they now were the ones who told me about Mr. Goldsworth. Of course, I read in the book, but they because he preached in that church. And Miss Porter actually has, you know how English people are. She has this anointing oil bottle. She showed me Awale. He said, this is the bottle that Swizzugos would use. You put anointing oil inside and then, you know. So I was privileged to the glory of God to have had that kind of personal contact. Not just what I read in a book. Pastor Porter and the wife, they got baptized in the Holy Spirit in the 1930s. You know, Mrs. Porter was born in 1912 or something. You know, I can't remember exactly. You know, and old Wigglesworth. Miss Porter has always been saved. She got saved when she was 8 years old or something. Has been saved all these years. Up till now, her husband got saved later on, you know. Then they got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know, with the old Pentecostal revival, people like Howard Carter. Howard Carter started the first Assembly of God Bible School in England. And my pastor and many other young men back then, this was long before World War II, you know, were attending that church. So anyway, old Wigglesworth used to come to their church. So they knew him one-on-one. He would eat in their house. You know, he would stay with them. And they now told me about Wigglesworth. This is the point I want to make here. Wigglesworth was a great man of God. He was somebody that in our generation, I believe Wigglesworth touched the Spirit without measure. Not only in and did all the fullness, but he touched it. No doubt about it. Everything we're doing today, all Wigglesworth was doing it. He just didn't call it that. Wigglesworth would not go for 15 minutes without reading the Bible. What was he doing? He was drawing life. And he liked the Psalms. all these life scriptures. He didn't call it that. You know, he would say before when he comes to the house, you know, everybody wants to eat. All we go to say, and you know, they all feared him. No, not fear, but you know, great respect. You know, he would say, we must feed the spirits before we feed the body. Then he will open his Bible. You know, and my pastor and everybody would just say, yes, sir. You know. Then he would read. They would read maybe one or two Psalms, you know, and then pray in tongues. Old Wigglesworth. Then he would say, now let's bless the food. Now, because we fed the spirit, we can now feed the body. He was that kind of guy. You know, very, very wonderful man. But the point is this. Old Wigglesworth, you know, raised the dead. 14 people recommended, documented And my pastor tells me about the experience. Raised one guy from the dead. They brought the coffin to the church. Wigglesworth took the body out of the coffin, pushed it in. The body fell back. If it was you and I, would give up after the first. But not Wigglesworth. A bull in a china shop. You know, he put the body again. Say, walk in Jesus' name. The body fell down again. Oh, my pastor and all the other people. Just like Martha and Mary. You know, he goes, when God tells you something, don't let the devil talk you out of it. So next, push the body up, push, walk in Jesus' name. And the boy start walking. I had known that first-hand experience. I mean, I wasn't there, but people who were there told me. So what I'm saying is that this was a great man who saw, there were hardly any miracle you see in the New Testament that was not demonstrated under Wigglesworth ministry. He not only preached in England, he preached in Scandinavia, he preached in America, he preached for Amy Simple McPherson, you know, at Angel's Temple in Los Angeles. You know, Wigglesworth went all over. You know, God used him tremendously. You know, and he, you know, raised the dead, you know, cancer, all that. If you have anything like ulcer or cancer, you know, just box you. Bass! Is this nothing but the devil? You know, and the cancer will go. Now, you don't go about boxing people. Someone said, why? You're not Wigglesworth. It's as simple as that. You know, it's as really is as simple as that. You know, some guys, they walk with God to a degree. They pass a particular level. And God entrusts them with this kind of power. They asked him, what's the secret of your ministry? He said, I pray in tongues at least 1 or 2 hours every day. This was back then. I'm talking about the 1920s. See, most people hadn't even keyed into all of that. We're practicing it now. But people like Wigglesworth had started doing it long. And that was why he broke through into those kind of realms of power and glory. So they now, you know, towards the end of his life, old Wigglesworth called some of the young men, like my pastor, and, you know, they were young then, and said to them, he said, everything I've done is just a drop in the bucket. He said, there's a generation that is coming that's going to far outstrip everything we have done. See, I've heard some of these things, as it were, from the horse's mouth. You know, because I've been a part of all of this. That's why I am so enthusiastic. You know, it's not something just I read in a book or I saw in a movie or something. It's real. These are guys who've... And he said, what we have done is... nothing. He says, he used the word, it's a drop in the bucket of what is still coming. And here we are 100 years later. Approximately. This is 2015. Just slightly under 100 years later. Certainly over 100 years from Azusa Street, you know, and about 100 years, slightly just under 100 years from the time. Old Wigglesworth, his ministry really took off in the 1920s. You know? So we're just about 100 years, you know. And he said, all things you see me do, he said, there's a generation that's going to come that everything I do, have done, will be like child's play. So it will be a drop in the bucket compared to what God is still going to do. And here we are 100 years later, and we haven't yet seen it. So we're very excited, and we're very... expectant to see a greater manifestation of this spirit without measure. And so we saw it in Jesus, the Lord Jesus. We saw it in the Acts of the Apostles. And we've seen it in our contemporary times through people like Old Wigglesworth, later on Kenneth Hagin, and some of the great men we've heard of, you know. But even all of that, it was just a small foretaste. They really didn't enter into the fullness of it. I think the person that captures that the best is E.W. Kenyon. I like the way the man writes. He said, you know, he said, some of us, he says, we've seen the blind see. We've seen the deaf hear. We've seen the lame walk. We've seen those on the verge of death instantly healed. and restored to figure. He said, but so far, none of us have entered into the place where we may permanently enjoy this high privileges in Christ. He said, but we have a conviction that before the Lord Jesus returns, I've internalized these things over the years. That's why I can say them. If you wake me up in the middle of the night, I'll say it. You know? We have a conviction that before the Lord Jesus, there will arise a generation who will learn the secret, this was how he described it, of reigning in life, of living the transcendent resurrection life of the Son of God amongst men, and bring a befitting close to this dispensation. As a prophetic word. We're still waiting on that word. As I speak. That is why these things we're talking about, they're not, like Pastor Quigley has said so many times, quoting from Scripture, they're not cunningly devised fables. I shared my own experience with you. The Holy Ghost fell on me November 11, 1979. Exactly as it was in the Acts of the Apostles. I had that personal experience. If in my room there, in that same Lillian Penson Hall in Talbot Square in London, you know, it was in the winter, it was getting cold, got filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues. I was as drunk as... yeah, now, you know, I could never, everything in the Bible, because the Bible says, that, are they drunk? Yeah. If you saw me that night, you think I was drunk. I was drunk. But on the Holy Ghost. I could hardly... You know, I could walk, but, I'd been drunk before. But this was on the other side of the equation, you know. But this was different. You know, the thing was bubbling up. I speak Hebrew and Aramaic. Nobody can tell me it's not real. You know. But and these are the things that made me say, let's dig into this thing. If the first fruits is true, the whole thing is true. Let's dig into this thing and find out. The man called, he said, we'll learn the secret. There is a secret. And here we are. And that's why we're here tonight. And so that's what we're learning now, how to grow into the perfection and the fullness of Christ, so that we will not just manifest this earnest which we have, you know, but we want to move beyond the earnest and see this fullness of God. Filled, Pastor G, can you believe it? Filled with all the fullness of God. Only God knows what that means. But I am fully persuaded, amen, that some of us will experience it. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I've made up my mind I'm going to be one of them. I'm not going to be satisfied with this earnest and just tongues and a few miracles here and there. Thank God for that too. I'm not despising it, but I'm not satisfied with that. The only thing I'll be satisfied with is his likeness. Amen. Only if anything below what I see in the New Testament, what I see in the four Gospels, I'm not satisfied. I will not be satisfied until I see the dead raised after 4 days. I will not be satisfied until I see water turn to wine. I will not be satisfied until I see people walk on water. I will not be satisfied until I see 5,000 people healed without anybody touching them. Bible says, virtue went out of him and healed them all. The same way goes what I'm talking about. When he would go to Scandinavia and Sweden and all these European countries, they all had revival. Oh. Yes, sir. No, they're just backsliding. Oh. One of the reasons, let me say this, you know, the reason why you see the blessing of God upon Europe, upon the UK, then Europe and America, basically, you see in other countries, but nothing like what you see. Europe and America in the last 400 years, do you understand, have been at the forefront of scientific technological, economic development. The rest of the world is following them. There's no question of trying to argue or talk about the imperialism and all of that. You know, this is just the truth. And the reason for it is God. Light. All those places had revival. At one time or the other, the move of the Holy Ghost will sweep those countries. All Wigglesworth, when they will bring people out on the road, just like the Acts of the Apostles. No exaggeration. Go and Google it. You'll see the accounts. You know, 1922, Sweden. 1923, you know, Germany. He would go to all different places. He couldn't speak their language, but he had people who were translators. He was an Englishman, you know. They would bring out 100, 500 people on the road. Because what doesn't have time? There's no way he can lay hands on everybody. So what will happen is that they'll just bring them out. When Wigglesworth comes, he will lay hands on two, then the anointing will just go. Boom. People just start getting healed. Just like in the Acts of the Apostles. Bible says, and Peter's shadow. See, they brought out the sick onto the road. So that at least the shadow of Peter just turned, going past, and they were healed. No wireless transmission. Spiritual Wi-Fi. No need for laying on of hands. No need for prayer. Oh, you know all this spiritual gra-gra we do is because the anointing is not enough. When the real thing is there. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with speaking in tongues. We also spoke in tongues. But you speak in tongues in his closet. But when he now comes out onto the field, it's the truth. When the anointing without measure is there, you don't need to do all those gymnastics. I will not be satisfied until I see that. And we are going to get it. Are you listening? Nothing will satisfy me. I want to see what was in the Acts of the Apostles. I'm very much in a sense, and you should be too, like Elisha of old. He took the mantle of Elijah. And then he hit the Jordan. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? So in our own day, where is the God of Paul? Where is the God of Jesus? Where is the God of old Wigglesworth? Where is the God of John G. Lake? Where is the God of Kenneth Hagin? We want to see it. Nothing will satisfy us. All this fake. God forgive me. Yeah, most of it is fake. Or it's just the devil just tickling them. Amen. Yeah, when you see the real thing. So people tell me I wasn't there, you know. In the early 70s, just after the Civil War, you know, when in the East, that's when the SU movement gained momentum. There were vestiges of this kind of anointings. And this man came, old T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne had a meeting in Calabar. There were over 1 million people. He would do his hand like this. Everybody would be healed. No laying on of hands. It was T.L. Osborne and Gordon Lindsay that influenced Benson Idahosa. He was operating the borrowed anointing from those men. No, you don't know the story. Pa Elton arranged for Benson Idahosa to get a scholarship to Christ for Nations in Dallas, Texas, under the ministry of Gordon Lindsay. Some of the people who were teaching in that something were T.L. Osborne. So it was that understanding and knowing they laid hands on him. When Idahosa came back, this is about 1973. Yeah. When he cut out from the plane and the people from Church of God Mission came to welcome him. As he just did, like, people just like falling under the power. They had never seen anything like that in Nigeria. Yeah. As they were greeting him, he wasn't trying to, he was greeting people, all falling under the power.
That same anointing. God hasn't changed. And that's the kind of thing, I was talking to Pastor Andrew this afternoon, that's going to change Nigeria. All this nonsense that's going on, first of all, among the church and the politicians. Nothing short of the Spirit without measure will straighten everybody out. Trust me, everybody will wake up. And all this rubbish and nonsense will stop overnight. Are you listening to me? When you see the Moses, the anointing of Moses and the anointing of Elijah, Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat goes to, you know, with Ahab. Elijah said, were it not for the presence of Jehoshaphat. That's how prophets should talk. Not this patronizing rubbish. Were it not for the presence of Jehoshaphat, I would not see thee, neither would I talk with thee. Go and meet the prophets of your fathers, who have caused Israel to sin. The man began to beg the prophets. The prophet said, okay. Ah, place you want to go, if you go there, you will die. The man said, will not. He went. He said, if you return in peace, then the Lord has not spoken by me. These are not cunningly, this is in the Bible. Yeah, if you return in peace. He went to Ramoth Gilead. And he went, you know, he disguised himself so that they won't know he's the king. Went to the battle, tried to not make the word of the Lord come to pass. There is no wisdom or understanding. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. The Bible says one person, he just fired an arrow at chance. What are you talking about? Angels on assignment. The arrow went and went to meet Ahab, went through his armor, and went through the harness into his heart. That the word of the Lord, spoken by the prophet, might come to pass. That's, and as the sun was setting, Ahab was in his chariot and died according to the word of the Lord. We need just about three examples like that. Everybody in Nigeria will sit up. And it's coming. Say, Pastor, where is that in the Bible? The Bible says, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, by the words of my prophets. All this rubbish, and it will stop overnight. Nothing short of this anointing will solve the political and economic, you know, problems and quandary that we're in now. And we are in a quandary. Make no mistake about it. So that's why all us to rev us up. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to hear these things. But as the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we can press into this. Paul said, you know, this high calling of God. And breakthrough. This is the real breakthrough. This is the real breakthrough. Breakthrough into the spirit without measure. Wow. And let me tell you something. Once it happens and the first fruits come out, everybody's going to line up. The Bible says that my people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They will follow. If you say fast, they will fast. If you say, you know, use life scripture, they will use life. If you say groan, they will groan. All this theological argument will stop immediately. Settle all controversies. Oh, this is why we're arguing and talking grammar, and, you know. All that rubbish will stop immediately. Praise the Lord. Who doesn't want spirit without measure? May God have mercy on us. So that's why we're studying. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. I'm not talking to anybody here. It's good to hear these things. You know, when you hear from the horse's mouth, so to speak, you know, God sent some of us from Nigeria to go and make contact with the real guys. We didn't know. God just sent us. We didn't know God was sending us. I was 20 years old. 20. I didn't know.
Didn't know anybody. Didn't know nothing. I was just a greenhorn. I didn't know what was going on. I never heard of Idahosa before. I didn't know what the name meant. You know, I wasn't a Christian. I was here. You know, I just knew a few of the SUs on campus. But I didn't know all of this. When I got to, it was when I went to America, you know, to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting, you know, and I met Brother Emiko. Now, I knew Emiko from campus, you know, because when you and I together, it was where Emiko would now say, this is a young man, he's just, you know, he's been born again, he's from Imperial College, you know, and, you know, he believes he has a calling of God. So it was, Brother Emiko, thank God, it was him who took me by the hand like this, introduced me to Pastor Adeboye. You know, said this young man just come from London. Took me, was just taking me around. Some of the brethren that Kumuyi, everybody was in that meeting. You know, and I just greeted everybody nicely and respectfully. And one white man was sitting next to me in one of the meetings. He said, "You're from Nigeria?" I said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Don't you know Benson Idaho, sir?" I said, "No, I certainly don't." I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Wow, he is a fire born for God." I laughed my head off. You know, I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "I don't know about him." He said, "Well, I'm sure you hear about him." And then it was old. We could say, yes. I said, "Brother Idahosa." So when I go back to Nigeria, took me to Benin City. Oh, yeah. To me, I sat down, had lunch, slept in Idahosa's house. With Brother Emiko. You know, when Mr. Osa came in 1990 with Benny Hinn, remember? You know, he called me Pastor Lu. He said, "Pastor Lu, we are going to use your church." I said, "Yes, sir." You know, he had this great boldness, great man of God, you know. And God used him tremendously, you know, and there are a lot of breakthroughs. But you see, brethren, there's been a lull. There's been a lull. We want the real thing. We want the real thing. I mean, Idahosa, at the peak of his ministry, you know, before certain things came in and certain excesses went, you know, something, you know, in Benin City, everybody was afraid of him. Afraid of him. All the cultists and all the ritualists, you go to Idahosa's and you go and wear something. Idahosa will get it by word of knowledge. People came to try and kill him, you know, with charms. Get it by word of knowledge. And people will die. So this one, the first one died, the second one died, the third one died. It's a true story. The government, they wanted to go and they gave him a piece of land. He was trying to build a church there. So the government now told the people that they should go and bulldoze Idahosa. Idahosa said, "Let the first person come and bulldoze." All the people in the Ministry of Works say, "Me, I'm not going to Idahosa church. Oh, you see, our guy, if you want, go drive tractor. Go Idahosa church. Me, I don't go." They say, "Our guy, drive tractor yourself. Go bulldoze him." True story. The church was not touched. So much so that if Benson Idahosa goes anywhere, all people just back off. They feared him. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. Luke chapter 5. Now, last lesson, we stopped in verse 16. We say he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus had just healed the man with leprosy. And I brought out a great truth from that. And the truth is this. God always wants to heal. The man said, "You can heal me if you are willing." Jesus said, "I am willing." It's not just for that man, it's for anybody. Amen. It is always, everybody open your mouth, say, "It is always the will of God for you to be healed." Sickness has never been and will never be the will of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Never
there's somebody that prayed for and I did not get sick. I didn't say he didn't get healed, but it didn't change the fact that the healing is the will of God. There's something going wrong somewhere inside that's hindering the healing. But as far as the will of God is concerned, it's always to heal. You got to settle that in your mind. Are you listening? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. And power, who went about doing good, healing all. Everybody shout all. Not some. Everybody say all that were oppressed of the devil. Corollary. All sickness is satanic oppression. So it can never be the will of God for it to continue. Amen. Are you listening to me? These are foundational truths that should be solid in your heart, solid in your spirit. Why aren't Christians healed? Unforgiveness, disobedience, rebellion, all kinds of things. The other day we were talking about, sharing with some of the brethren about this. You know, Bible says, is any sick among you? Get the spirit, oh. There should be no sick among you. That's the spirit. There shouldn't be. But is any sick among you? He said, let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. For the effectual, fervent prayer, that's where I get that scripture from, of a righteous man availeth much. That's the will of God. Is there any sick among you? In other words, there shouldn't be. If you are well taught and you're obedient. So the people who are sick usually is because there's something wrong with them. When I say wrong with them, I'm talking about sin. That's why it says, and if he has committed any sin, they'll be forgiven him. Not the will of God. Never the will of God. Never has been, never will be. Remove it from your dictionary. Notice another thing we learned. He said Jesus withdrew himself. Jesus cultivated the habit of constantly praying to replenish the power of God that went out of him. And that's a truth we must learn. As you minister, not even just ministry alone, even just walking with God takes power. You know it takes power to please God? It takes power to walk in righteousness. It's the power of godliness. Just like this, the power to heal. So just like I expend power when I lay hands on the sick, I also expend power when I overcome sin. Amen. It takes the power of God, you understand, to think correctly. It takes the power of God to have the right feelings in your body, to crucify the flesh. It takes the power of God. The just shall live by faith. It takes you use your faith to zoa. That's the verb transitive of the noun zoe. So when you see in the New Testament, when it says the just, Bible talks about eternal life. Eternal life is zoe. That's the noun. But the verb, the just shall live by faith, it says the just shall zoa. That's the verb transitive of the noun zoe. So if you're living, you're spending zoe. So that's why you have to replenish it. So you have to replenish it. You do a big charge in the morning, and then you do small charges throughout the day, once every 6 hours. You know, it's Jesus doing that. So and he withdrew himself. Why did he withdraw himself? He knew that the power level had gone down. So he had to go back, replenish, and then come back again, minister, then he would go back again. As they noticed that pattern, James and John and Peter and all the other guys. They saw this guy, and something. So they said, Lord, teach us to pray. He didn't say teach us how to pray. He said, teach us to pray. Teach us to cultivate the habit of prayer like you do. Teach us how to pray, yes, but also teach us to pray. Teach us to make prayer a habit. That's how he lived. The Bible says, and he was in a certain place praying, and when he ceased. So he had time to, and his disciples, they knew the master. He was a nice guy, but he was a very strict, you know, fellow. They won't dare interrupt him when he's praying. So the Bible says, and when he ceased, then they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Then he said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. You know, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. What he gave them was principles. Not just a root that we just say. You know, half the people, no better percentage is 90%. Or people who say the Lord's Prayer don't have a clue what they're saying. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Do you know what that means? Thy will be done on earth. That's what we're talking about some time ago. We always postpone everything to heaven. On earth, as it is in heaven. That's another proof that sickness can never be the will of God. Is there any sickness in heaven? So if his will is to be done on earth as it is in heaven, it means that he wants everybody on earth healed just like they are in heaven. Give the Lord another clap offering. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. Now when we get to heaven, here. Thy kingdom come here, now. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He was giving them principles. He was telling them, look, when you pray, you know, recognize that God is your Father. Worship him. Hallow his name. Sanctify him in your heart. And then with that background of honesty and humility, acknowledging God, you can now have power to enforce kingdom. Verse 17. Let's see where the Lord takes us. And it came to pass. Luke chapter 5 verse 6, verse 17. Am I talking to anybody here? And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Stop them who? Pharisees and the doctors of the law. Now, that's in the further proof, Pastor, that God wants to heal everybody. The Pharisees and the Pharisees, well, they were the nicest guys on the earth. Yet the power of the Lord was present to heal them. If God can say, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them put anointing oil on him, lay hands on him, and he will be healed. He said, and if he has committed any sin, you know, God is ready to quickly remove the sin so he can heal him. Oh my God. How we have misrepresented God. He said, even if he has sinned, if he gets the elders and he has somebody who can stand for him, that person, whoever sins his remit, I will remit it for him and I will get him healed. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's why if he's not doing well himself, you should call for the elders to stand and cover for him. Notice, it is not the elders that should go and be looking for them. It is the sick that should call for the elders. Do you notice that when Jesus was going through the crowd and he came back from healing the madman of Gadara, you know, I just come out, it was Jairus who came to meet him. Otherwise, the guy would have just died. Nobody would have known. Jesus didn't have any word of wisdom or word of knowledge to go to Jairus' house. Jairus came to call for the elders. The elder in that case was Jesus. He came to call. He said, master. The Bible says he fell at his feet.
In our language, that means he fell prostrate.
He threw away his reputation. You know, Jairus was a big man. The
Bible says he was the ruler of the synagogue.
He threw all that rubbish and religious nonsense. When your daughter is sick, you forget religion. You can talk religion and theology when it has not touched you. He says, I have this young, my only daughter. She's 12 years old. He went prostrate. He fell at his feet and said, Lord, my only daughter. He said, but come and you lay hands and she shall be well.
Jesus is a nice person. These are people who hate Jesus. These are people who criticize him. These are people who don't even believe in him. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But Jesus didn't. You know, when you have the love of God in your heart, you don't bother with all the stupid things men say. He didn't even. He said, I'll come. He said, I'll come. Let's go. Let's get going. He was on the way that woman came. Let her call for the elders of the church. This same woman with the issue of blood who had been sick all these years, 12 years, nothing bettered. She didn't wait. It wasn't just going to look for her. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders. That's what she did. She went through the crowd and called for the elder that had the anointing. Touched his garment and instantly, that spirit without measure in operation, virtue went out of him and healed her. And Jesus said, somebody touched me. Didn't know who it was. No word of wisdom, no word of knowledge, no gifts of the Spirit, no laying on of hands. All she did was sought an elder. Only God knows whatever sin she may have committed. That did not even enter the equation. Certainly she wasn't a perfect person. She must have had some problem or the other. Only God knows how that sickness came. Hello, somebody. Amen. He said, if he has committed anything, shall be forgiven him. What a blank check. Glory to God. God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. And everything that is standing between you and your healing, God is ready to remove it. That's why he says, if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Say, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Then the effect of having prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hello, somebody. Verse 6:18. And behold, I didn't hear you. Men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. He was paralyzed, paralytic. And they sought means to bring him in and to... I didn't hear you. And to lay him before him. Jesus is a big man. You know, anointed of God. Hallelujah. In that place, it was only the pastors that were there. Pharisees and doctors. Not any small crowd. Amen. All the best donkeys and horses were parked outside. Today it will be Jeep and Cadillac and everything. Then one ramshackle man who doesn't, nobody knows, he's on a bed. Nothing has changed, though, brethren. You know, yes, nothing has changed. He couldn't even enter. It was Peter's house. Jesus converted Peter's house, you know, into a seminar room. Having a special seminar for all the top pastors. The doctors and the Pharisees of the law. There was so much crowd. This man, he had no credentials. Not a doctor. He's not a Pharisee. Even I want Peter to take Joe Wale. All the strong guys, the sons of thunder at the gate. Well, who are you? Come on. guys from Jerusalem are here. Yeah. That's the real situation. Verse 19, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, these guys were bold men, they went up to the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. That's a lot of boldness and a lot of faith. If they did not believe Jesus will have mercy on them, they won't try it. They didn't take Peter's permission. No, it's Peter's house. You know, it all went up to the roof. Nobody knew. Everybody was concentrating on the crowd that was downstairs. They all went up to the roof, broke the thing. People would say, what's going on? You know, and lo and behold, they all saw that they were letting this man down. You know, I can imagine Peter. What's wrong with these guys? Spoil the roof of my house. You know, and the sons of thunder, I cannot deal with me. It was Jesus that saved the day. As he looked up, Bible says he saw their faith. He saw their faith. See, I can't see faith because it's in the heart. But I can see the action that shows that you have faith in your heart. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, oh, I like this. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Do you see how God always attacks sin first before he does sickness? He didn't talk about the sickness first. He talked about the sin first. The reason, now this is heavy. Receive it, God will help you. Amen. If you have sickness in your life, go to the root of sin first. Remove it. Then door will open for life. You hear me? Did you hear me? There's no point trying to cut the branch when the root is still there. But I'm not saying. I'm not talking about adultery and fornication. And you didn't drink beer. And you didn't go to the nightclub. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about all kinds of things. You know, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Wrong attitude, rebellion. These are the real problems. In Christian circles, when you say sin, everybody thinks of adultery or fornication. Among the brethren, as he's living in sin. I know that's sin, but for most Christians, it's the little foxes that are spoiling the vine. It's not necessarily any big sin. And like I said, I think on Sunday, many times the sin is not even a sin of commission as much as it's an omission. So what's causing the problem are things, not anything you're doing bad, but good things you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing. So Jesus said, man! Interesting, he didn't know his name. Bible is true, whosoever. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. He didn't know him. Watch this. He didn't even know the sins he had committed. It's not important. That's why when we say, Father, we confess our sins, it works. Do you understand? Because Jesus' sacrifice has paid for all sins. John goes as far as saying, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Let's use it. Let's be like this. You know Jesus gave us the same power? You know you can do the same? Religion. Do you know you have authority to forgive sin just like this? So someone comes to you tomorrow and say, man, your sins are forgiven. Pastor. Shalom. With the same religious mindset. It hasn't changed after 2,000 years. Of course you can forgive sin. God's giving you that authority. He said, John chapter 20, verse 23. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Jesus gave you that authority. As a child of God, you are in a position to forgive people's sins. Only God knows what kind of sin this man had committed. It may not even have been revealed to Jesus, the particular sins. He just said, whatever it is gone. See, the blood cleanses all sin. Now, so even at this time, the blood hadn't been shed, but Jesus did it by faith. Just like he said, I am the resurrection and the life, before he was raised from the dead. He hadn't died, he hadn't been raised from the dead. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Faith calls the things which are not as though they are. He was bringing the blessings of the age to come. That age hadn't yet come, the age of forgiveness of sin, you know, but he tapped into it by faith and brought it, you know, he tapped 3 years ahead of time and then brought it back to that time where he was. You know, you and I can do the same. You don't have to wait to get to the millennium to enjoy the blessings of the age to come. If you can receive it, receive it. You don't have to wait. You can, by faith now, reach. He said you can take the powers of the age to come and bring it here now. Hello? Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees, this is their problem, began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blah? Can you see their mindset? Even before we get there, blasphemy. They had a critical attitude. You know, there are people like that today. When they are listening to you, they don't want to hear what you are saying. They want to look for something that they can use to criticize you. You all can argue. That's why you're not receiving from God. As we're going to see. Instead of thanking God, aren't you happy that he even wants to help this man? Who is this? You know, that time they didn't know he was son of God. He was also a rabbi from Nazareth of all places. You know, so who is this? Who is this ragamuffin? that's trying to forgive sin. Speaking blasphemy. May God have mercy on us. Who can forgive sins but God alone? They were trying to be religious. They were trying to be sanctimonious. They were trying to be scriptural. But you know the truth about the matter is that they read their Bible upside down. Because even in the Old Testament, did Joseph not forgive his brothers? Who can forgive sins except God alone? Men of God, did Daniel not stand and forgive the sins of the people? Daniel didn't commit those sins. He said, we confess all of our sins, and he covered for the whole nation. Of course, Job forgave his friends. You know, there were many examples in the Old Testament where men of God had stood in the place of others and covered for them. Is it not in the book of Proverbs where it says that love shall cover the multitude of sins? It's not New Testament, it's Old Testament. Can you see that there is a lie in their right hand? Because of their wrong attitude, they couldn't see what God was doing. Even without knowing that Jesus was Son of God, just knowing the scriptures, of course, somebody can stand and forgive people's sins. It's been done in the Old Testament. And not only Levites and priests, men of God there is no record that Daniel was a Levite or a priest. He may not have been the tribe of Levi. I think he was even the tribe of Judah, if I remember rightly. You know? Yeah, it wasn't. And there's so many guys like that in the Old Testament who were not necessarily priests. David, for example, was not a priest. David was not a Levite. He was not a priest, but he wore a linen ephod. Hallelujah. And put the ark in his back here. Don't try it, man. Only David. It tells you that God does. You see, all those ceremonial things are not important. It's the heart. If God sees somebody with the right heart, he will do things that people will not normally do.
And that's what happened here. And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, I didn't hear you. You know, that's something about God, you see. We have to understand this. We'll just close with this portion. You know, when you are thinking, you are transmitting. You know how they catch crooks with mobile phone? You don't have to be using your phone. Just leave it on. That phone is emitting EM waves. So if you go to Glo or you go to MTN or Airtel or anything, they have a master something. They just put the thing on. They can tell where you are. The police use it many times. People are getting smarter now. They get phone and it's destroyed. You know, you can plot, you know, you can see where a person is just by following his phone. Because the phone is transmitting a signal. Anytime you are thinking, and you are thinking all the time, you are transmitting a signal in the spirit realm. And people who are spiritually perceptive can pick what you are transmitting. That's why you should be careful what you think. Whatever things are true. It went very quiet. I know what you're thinking. You're transmitting. You can be transmitting unbelief. You can be transmitting faith. You can be transmitting rebellion. You can be transmitting, you know, love. You can be transmitting kindness. You pick it in the spirit. Not every time, but you can usually tell. So when it's important, God will show you. You know? That's why you're very careful what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What thinkest thou? And Jesus perceived their thoughts, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Gotcha. Whether it's easier to say, this is beautiful, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk. Stop. Which is easier? Neither. Only God can forgive sin, and only God can heal. Or let's extend that. Only a man authorized by God can forgive sin, and only a man authorized by God can heal. So the Lord said, but that you may know that the Son of God, man, deliberate. He didn't say Son of God, he said Son of Man. In other words, you can do it too. The literal Hebrew is Son of Adam. Anytime you see Son of Man in the New Testament, when it says Son of Man, he called himself the Son of Adam. That you may know that the Son of Man hath power. That word power, the Greek word there is exousia, which means authority. To forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise. I like that. And take up thy pouch and go into the house. And immediately that spirit without measure and operation. Instant. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house. Doing what? Glorifying. Of course he would. Wouldn't you? The religious people can be arguing about forgiveness of sin and the theological something. Thank God I'm healed. Praise God, man. Let them be arguing theology there. Hello, somebody. Am I something low? And they were all who? All the Pharisees, all the doctors of the law, were amazed. And they what? And were saying, we have seen strange things today.
Interesting, none of them got healed. Yet the power came to heal them. Another thing, they saw a miracle, but it didn't fill them with faith. It filled them with fear. So seeing miracles won't give you faith. What will give you faith is hearing the word of God. The human heart is deceitful above all things. And this, how can you see such a thing? And then you feel fear. You know what they should have first done? If they were honest, go to man, I'm sorry, I was thinking the wrong thing. Now I understand you have authority to forgive sickness, because to forgive sin. Because if the man is healed, it also means his sins were also forgiven. I could not see the forgiveness of sin, but I've seen the healing. So because I saw the healing, I know the forgiveness of sin has worked. You know the next thing? Forgive me my sin. My sin of unbelief. My sin of blasphemy. My sin of disparaging you in my heart. Okay? And explain to me how this thing is done. You know, Jesus would have taught them. And then everybody would have gone home healed. Can you imagine the amount of power that was generated and only one person got it? Whereas it was supposed to heal maybe 500 or 100, how many they were. How many times does that happen in church? We're closing. Where the power of the Lord is present to heal everybody. And only two or three get it and go home. The rest who they came, they all come the same way they left. They leave the same way they came. The power is there to heal everybody. But only those who operated in faith get the healing. The other people would all come and go, just like the Pharisees and the doctors of the law. They come the way they came, they leave the way they came. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Even tonight, as I'm speaking, you're getting healed. Amen. Anybody who is sick now, I'm not going to pray a special prayer for you. We'll pray, you know, as we, at the end of the message. But as I'm talking now, just receive your healing. It's there. It's in the air. It's in the air. It's in the air. Remember, sickness is never the will of God. Is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? Let him receive his healing now as I'm talking. And even if you have sinned, I forgive your sin. It's remitted. Amen. The Bible is true. Let us pray. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Is there any sick among you? Let him call. For the elders. Call on the elders. That's what covering is all about. You don't have to go with your sickness tonight. You don't have to go with your problem tonight. The power of God is present to heal you. Do you notice, if you read this in one of the other Gospels, I think it's also here. It says, as he was teaching them, the power of the Lord was present. So the power to heal was in the word. He sent his word and healed them. So the power for the healing was inside the word that was in the air. Talk to God. I think it's in the either in Luke or in Matthew. It says, as he was teaching, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. This is what we have to understand. The power is already there in the Word of God. The power, he sent his Word and healed them. And delivered them from their destructions. There you go. If
your presence doesn't go with us.
We don't want
to leave this place. Lord, we need you near as we go from here. Lead us by your love and grace. Presently. hand to God.
Lord, to you we go.
Let your glory fall.
Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight, reminding me that it is always, always your will to heal. Even when men have sinned, you forgive their sins so that you can heal them. Oh my God and my Father, tonight let your glory fall upon my heart, upon my body, upon my life, upon my circumstances, upon my home, upon my family, upon my finances. Let your glory fall. Let your presence lead me. Oh Lord God, let your spirit lead the way. Oh God, take me from where I am now to where you want me to be by the power of your glory in every area, in the healing of my body, in the healing of my mind, in the healing of my home, in the healing of my finances, in every area of my life. Let your glory fall. Lubriki tofrenengara, jelika tofre, zafriki kaklamatoria shangitos, nikitoloma gordolos, toloma tufri dufri 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 shingaras, tonkloma toloma toloma tufri dufri shingaras tufres, lambreke tufre, lombre no shufri, lombre no loma tufri dufri dufri shingara, toloma shokogo, toloma shufre, tufri dufri shingara, lombre kamatusko, rama tufre, lombre diriki tufri dia. Je que tu offres les mangards d'offres, tu offres les garas, je les prédiles, d'offres les garas, ni que tu offres, j'offre les guiras, tu offres les, nous frédiles, n'offres les, tu offres les, j'offre les garas, j'offre les, j'offre les, tu offres les garas, tu offres les. Niras tufrenes, zefri kalamahoras, zofredelis, nofredengas, neros tufrenes, zik tufrenengik tufres. In Jesus' name. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood of Jesus.